paragraph that we mentioned in the Nusach. But if you look carefully, Rav David Cohen notes that it's mamish, pure repetition, almost word for word, not word for word literally, but in concept. And look at the parallels. We start off with Mibnei Chatoenu, Golim Yatzim, Vinishrachak Lemiel Admasin, we have been distant. The Ein Anach Yicholim Laloitz Veleroiso Lishachvis, Lefenechem Velasoiz Chavasin, Bebeis Vesecha. Okay, Bebeis, we can't do the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so that's a basic statement. Melech Rachamon, the King of Mercy, Shetoshuv Usrache Moleinu Yal Mikdash Chabrachamecha Rabbi. Usvisivneu Mehera, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, Usgadel Kvoidei. Now let's turn to the next chunk, the nus that we recite after the Musaf. Elokeinu Vilkavasin, the Melech Rachamon. No, Melech Rachamon, look at that. The God, the King of Rachamon. Didn't we just say that in Mibnei Chatoenu? Didn't we say Yiratzoinu Lefanach Hashem Elokeinu Vilkavasinu Melech Rachamon? We said that. Rachim, we say in this part to Melech Rachamon, Rachem Oleinu, Toivu Meitiv Hidoresh Lanu. So here we have the exact same thing in different words. Then it says, let's go back to part one. Part one, it says, V'sivneyu mehero skadel kvoida. Okay, and here it says, all right, let's leave out that part. Okay, let's go further. We then say further in part one, V'korev pizureinu mibein hagoyim, unifutzosenu kanes miyar kesearts. In part two, we write, V'hoshev koyhanim lavoidosam, ulevim bishlushidam, ulezimram, V'hoshev yisrolin veyam. Isn't that a parallel? It sure seems so. It seems like it's exactly the same idea. Okay, then it says, bring us the Aveinu Litzion Yichal Berinah, V'lushan Beis Mikdashcha B'simcha Selam, V'sham Anir Naseh Lefanecha, we will bring before you the Karbonos Chavoseinu. And here, in this portion, it says, V'sham Na'aleh V'nera'eh V'nishtachavel Lefanecha, we will go up, we will appear, and we will bow before you on the Sholosh Pa'amei Regaleinu Kakosim B'sorosach, which pretty much means we're going to serve you in the Beis HaMikdash. So, and if you look more carefully, you'll probably find more, even you'll probably find here even more parallels between the two. Let's review. Let's go back. We start off with the expression Yihiratza Yimil Fanach Hashem Elokeinu Vaseinu Melech Rachamon Shetoshuv Usrachem Oleinu. What's the parallel to that? Elokeinu Vilkav Vaseinu Melech Rachamon, Rachem Oleinu, Toivu Meitiv Hidoresh Lanu, Shuvu Eleinu Bahamoin Rachamecha, Beglal Ovosh Osu Ritzoynecha. That expression is just a poetic translation of part A, where we said almost exactly the same thing. Melech Rachamon, Shetoshu Yotzor Mulfanecha, Hashem Elokeinu Gevaseinu Melech Rachamon Shetoshuv Usrachem Oleinu Yal Mikdashcha Berachamecha Rabin V'sivneu Mehera Skadel Kvoidei. Okay, part two. What's the next part? Well, you know what? I made a mistake. The part two is where it says in part one, V'sivneu Mehera, build it swiftly, Usgadel Kvoidei. In part two it says, B'nei Veischa Kivat Achila V'choinin Mikdashcha Al Mechoinoi. It's unbelievable. It's almost exactly the same thing. You could read this your whole life and not even realize you're just repeating yourself. Then it goes on to say, Avin Malkeinu Galei Kivoy Malchus Choleinu Mehera. Okay. V'nosei Oleinu Lenei Kolchoi Gilu Shchina. Here it says, V'hareinu b'vinyanoi, show us. Kishon is also a form of Gilishin, Vaharemi Bivinyan, Vesamchemi Bisikunai. Okay, doesn't that parallel to where it says Gale, Kivoid Malchus, Alin Hero, Vyafavi, Nasir, Lein, Linekokoi? Now the next part is clearly a parallel. The Kore Tizurei Ben Hagoyim, Mufunsusen Kanis, Miakis, Aretz, Kibbutz Golios. And here it says, V'hoshev koyanim la'avodas, v'nevim l'shum l'zimron, v'yoshev l'shum v'yem. Okay, that's clearly a parallel. And then the fifth part is to bring the karbonis. V'sham na'asel l'fenechas kabezcha v'seinim, t'vidin k'sidim musam k'il chasam. And here it says, V'sham na'asel l'fenechas kabezcha v'seinim, and v'sham na'ale So, this is an amazing, amazing insight into the Nusach HaTzilah of the Shalosh Regalim, where there appears to be a direct parallel between the first part of the Musaf and the second part of the Musaf. The first part of the Musaf is the portion called Umidnei Chato Einu. And the second part of the Musaf begins Elokeinu Elokei Avos Seinu, and they express the same exact themes. We've outlined five portions, five parts that are exactly Zeh Keneged Zeh. Why? Why is there repetition? And Rav David Kony answers is a brilliant, brilliant answer, and really opens up for us a whole new understanding of davening. There are two facets, there are two main facets about the Beis HaMikdash on the Shalosh Regalim. Number one, there is the element of the Musafim. There are a unique set of Musafim that we are required to bring on the Shalosh Regalim. That's number one. Number two, there is what's called the Oilas Re'iyah. Every single individual has an obligation to come to the Beis HaMikdash. Shalosh pom bashone yedoe kol zuchurcha es pnei Hashem lakecha v'makom asher yivchar, and to bring there an oila, to bring a carbon chagiga, to appear in the Beis HaMikdash in the presence of Hashem and bring your unique carbon. There is a carbon of the tzibur and there is a carbon of the yachid. And when you know this Yisoid, it's incredible, because that now you have a whole new appreciation of what you're saying in the Shemona Esrei. You first, in the beginning of the Shemona Esrei, you're focusing on the korbanos of the Tzibur, the Musafim. And the Musafim we mentioned, the basic elements. The basic elements are, have Rachmanis upon us, you Hashem, the Melech Rachman. We ask you to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. We ask you for Kibbutz Goliath. And we ask you for the ability to once again bring the korbanos of the tzibur. Then, after we outline the korbanos of the tzibur, we repeat exactly the same thing, not from the korbanos of the tzibur, but the korbanos of the yochid, of the individual, the oilas re'iyah, that every single person in Klal Yisrael has an obligation to go to Eretz Yisrael, and we need Hashem's rachmanis, and we need Hashem, and we need Hashem to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and we need there to be the Kibbutz Golios, and the ability to actually bring the carbon. Okay, so we need there to be there is a direct parallel between the Tzibur and the Yachid. They have the same exact elements. To ask, to draw from Hashem's Rachmanus, Rachamecha Harabim, to request the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, to witness Kibbutz Golios, and to be able to bring our obligations, whether it's the Korban Tzibur, the Musafim, or whether it's the Korban Yachid of each private individual. And that's why there is a direct parallel. That is where Rav David Cohen says. It's an awesome insight into the Pashup Shad and Nusach of the Musaf of the Shalosh Regalim. Now, if we may then add, build upon what Rav David Cohen said, and ask the next question, what then is the purpose of a Hasienu? V'hasiyenu Hashem lekeinu es birchas mayadecha. May you bring upon us the blessing of your festival, l'chayim u'l'sholem l'simchu l'sosayim, kasher atzisa v'yamaitu l'vorcheinu, kachemim u'mitzvasech v'sein chalcheinu v'sarasecha, sabimim mitzvasech v'samcheinu v'shurasecha, v'taher libeinu liyavcha b'emes, v'simchu v'sosayim, mo'adei kodshecha v'yismu v'chol yishu m'kadshei shemecha. Baruch atah Hashem mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. So what I want to say over here is a chiddush. I hope everyone is still listening. Everyone is still there. Ezra, are you still there? I just want to. I sort of get this feeling that. May, are you there? Norman, are you there? Is Norman Forrest? Anyone there? Oh well.
Here.
Are you there? Mr. Forrest, you there?
Yes.
Okay, good, very good. May, are you there by any chance? Ezra, are you there?
I'm showing they're there, but they're on mute.
I don't think they're there. I think they went out. All right, so let me explain to you, Mr. Forrest. What I'm trying to say over here is that when you come to the Bracha of Hasiyenu, the Hasiyenu is the synthesis between the two. It's the synthesis between the Karbonus of the Tzibur and the Karbonus of the Yochid. The Karbonus of the Tzibur, look at the Nusach. The Nusach is V'Hasiyenu Shemokeinu is Birchas Mayadecha, the blessing of your festival. And notice there's always a double. Oh, Mayor, you're back. Mayor, what happened? I thought I was. No one responded, Mayor. Mayor, you hear me?
On you.
What? Mayor, you there? Yeah? You hear me? Okay, so the idea that we were saying was Rav David Cohen shows that there is an exact parallel between the first part of the Shemona Esrei and the second part. The Nusach of Umibnecha To'enu has in it, let's say for the sake of simplicity, four major themes. Number one, we request of Hashem His Rachamecho Harabim. Number two, we ask Hashem to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Number three, we ask Hashem for Kibbutz Goliyos. Number four, we ask to be able to once again to bring the Korbanos. When we say the second part of the Shemona Esrei, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, it says exactly the same thing all over again, word for word. Not word for word literally, but the principles are exactly lined up like sitting ducks, one after another. The first is Rachamecho Harabim, Melech Rachamon, Bahamon Rachamecho. The second principle is to ask for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. The third is to ask for Kibbutz Goliyos. And the fourth is the ability to serve you, Hashem, which seemingly means to bring Korbanos. So the question is, why is there repetition? What is the purpose of the repetition? Rav David Cohen gives a brilliant answer, and he says the first part of Shemona Esrei is describing what we need to bring the Korbanos Tzibur, and the second part of Shemona Esrei is what we need to bring the Oilas Re'iyah on the Sholesh Regalim. Every single individual has an obligation to appear in the Beis HaMikdash and bring a private Korban, the Oilas Re'iyah. So the first part is for the Tzibur, the Musafim of the Moadim, and the second part of the Shemona Esrei is for the individual. The individual has an obligation. Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana Yera'eh.
You see that because in the second part you have to say on Shabbos, Ritzei V'Achalitzeinu.
Ritzei V'Achalitzeinu, what? What does that have to do anything?
In the second part, if it's on Shabbos, you say, Elkeinu V'Elkeinu V'Seinu Ritzei.
The first part you also mention Hashem. The first part you also mention Shabbos. When you come to the Korbanos, yes, you do. And when you get down to the end,
yeah, you said as Korban.
The Yom HaShabbos.
Yeah, but that's separate. Over here, you're putting it in the tefillah in the beginning.
Yeah, but you say Yismichu. But you say Yismcha Malchuscha. See, you say something very, very good. You're saying, wait a minute. All right, I hear what you're saying. All right, let's not go there. I'm not so sure that's so. All right, leave that point alone. But it's an incredible idea. There are four steps, and it appears at the face value to be pure repetition. And along comes Rav David Kohen to reveal that it's not repetition. The first part of the Shemoneh Esrei is describing the Karbonos of the Tzibur, and the second part is describing the Karbonos of the Yochid, the individual. This and the Yochid has an obligation to be Oilel L'Regel, and to bring Oilel L'Regel, and to bring the Karbonos, the Oilas Re'iyah. And there is a direct parallel between the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei and the end of the first part, the second part, in these four stages. First, Rachamecho HaRabim. Number two is to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Number three is Kibbutz Goliyos. And number four is the Karbonos. I want to suggest is that when you come now to Vahasi'enu, what we're really doing is we're combining the two together. Meir, you still there? Ezra, you there, Ezra? Mayor? Mr. Forrest, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so now we come to the Hasiyena. I want to suggest that it's a combination. When you say Birkas Mayadecha L'Chaim U'L'Shalom, notice there's two. There's Chaim Shalom. Then we say Simcha and Sasa. Kasher Ratzis of Yamarta L'Varchenu. Okay, that's also a double. Katshenu b'mitzvah secha, v'sein chalkenu b'sara secha, sabenu mituvecha v'samchenu b'shua secha, v'taher libeinu lo'avdecha be'emes, v'anichleinu asher lokenu b'simcha v'sasim mo'adei kodshecha. I want to say is that each word, let's start with l'chaim u'l'shalom. L'chaim refers to the tzibur. The tzibur should live. And shalom is for the yochid. Simcha is for the tzibur. Sasin is for the yochid. When we say kasher rotzisa is for the tzibur. V'yamarta levarchenu is the yochid. When it says katshenu b'mitzvah secha, that's the tzibur. V'sein chelkeinu b'saratzecha, that's the yochid. Sabeinu mituvecha, that's the tzibur. V'samcheinu b'shuasecha is the yochid. V'taher libeinu li'avdecha be'emes, that's the tzibur. And v'hanchileinu Hashem lokeinu b'simcha u'v'sasen mo'adei kodshecha, v'yismuchu v'cho yishol that would be the yochid. And then we have a general combination of the Yismuchu v'cho Yisrael Mekadshei Shmecha is them together. In other words, I'm trying to suggest you have to really work it out better, more detail, and also say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael. That's the Tzibur. The Hazmanim is more reflects more the individuals. The Zmanim is what each individual takes out of the Zman. So in other words, trying to suggest is that in the part of Ahasienu, it is the merging of the two portions of the Shemoneh Esrei. Because in Sach HaKol, when you put the entire thing together, there are a total of three different parts to the Musaf. There is part one, part two, and part three. Part one is the Tzibur. Part two is the Yochid. And part three is the synthesis between the tzibur and the yochid, where they meet. And that's why in part three of the Shemona Esrei V'Hasiyeinu, everything is in twos. It's zugos. Okay, there's always l'chaim u'l'shalem, and then it's simcha sase. Then it's ka'asher rotzisa, and then it's v'yamarta l'varcheinu. Ka'asheru b'mitzvasecha v'sincha kena b'sarasecha. Then it says sabeinu mitzvecha v'samcheinu b'shurasecha. And then it says v'tahar libeinu liyavcha b'mes. Then it says v'hanach l'eshem v'kena b'sincha says v'modei ka'asherecha. Everything in v'hasiyeinu is in twos. And the twos, the first part corresponds to the tzibur, and the second part corresponds to the yachid. And then when we conclude, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim, Yisrael is the tzibur, and the zmanim is the yachid, what the individual takes out of it. Okay, so this is an idea in the Nusach HaTfil of Musaf. I think it's there's something, Devodim Begav, there's something over here in this idea. All right, let me tell you another idea, and then we'll just quit with this. Another quick idea. We say the Nusach HaTfilah on Sukkot says, Zman Simchaseinu. What does that mean exactly? Why is Sukkot called Zman Simchaseinu? Look at the mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Sukkot is to go into a sukkah. Chazal tells us a sukkah, we say in the Yiratzen, going into a sukkah is really equivalent to going to Golus. Is Golus really a simcha? When you go into the Diras Arai, is that called simcha? If you're in your bias, your home, that's called simcha. Going in the Yiratzen, we say that just in case over Yom Tov, it was decreed upon us that we should go into Golus, so the sukkah should be the fulfillment of the Gezerah of Golus. Why is that simcha? That's not simcha. Next, you take in your hands the dalid minim. Ulekachtem lechem pri etz chode kapos tamanu v'anaf etz ovetz v'arvei nochal usimachnem ufnei Hashem lokecha. Where is their simcha? Where is their simcha when you hold in your hands the dalid minim? Can you show me what great simcha? If you're holding in your hands $1 million, maybe you would have simcha. If you're holding in your hand your children, maybe you'll have simcha. You're holding your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. You're holding a piece of meat. V'samachta b'chagecha, ain't simcha l'bosa v'yayin. You should hold in your right hand a piece of meat, and in your left hand a bottle of wine. And you'll shake the meat and the wine. You'll walk around the beam holding the meat and the wine. I understand, ain't simcha ella b'bosa v'yayin. Where do you come to have simcha when you're holding in your hands a lulav in Esraig, Hadasim, Aravos, excuse me, where's the simcha? So I want to say the answer is Adrav is exactly the point. We mentioned last week that we say in the Nusach on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Al Chet Shechotan Lefanecha, Betimhoin Levav. And we explain what does it mean, Timim Levav? So give a whole drush, is it's Tachas Asher Loyavadita Es Hashem Elokecha. B'simcha uvitov levav meiroiv koil. The timhoin levav means the absence of the heart. The heart was in a state of vacancy, void. What was the void of the timhoin levav? It was absolute simcha. And the chait is so great because meiroiv koil. You had it all. You had it all, and you didn't know what to do it yourself. I read today in Mishpacha magazine, I'm just glancing through the magazine, there was a rough word editorial, and he says, for the last couple of decades, relative to what we've been going through the last 6 months, we had everything. We had everything. There was no restrictions. And now we find ourselves really groping in the dark, and we're afraid to walk into shul, we're afraid this, and everything is such an issue. Every little thing became a big, big issue. And now is the time to sit back and go, wow, in the past, we had everything. Roiv kol, the abundance of everything. Did we really take advantage of the opportunity that we had to serve Hashem the way we should have? And now, in hindsight, when we see how delicate this world is, and how in one moment the whole world just can come to an end, it's a very frightening experience. So I want to say is that's exactly what we're really doing. That's really what it means, that it's called Zaman Simchaseinu. Yom Kippur is over. It's a humbling experience. We say to ourselves, did we really serve Hashem? Did we really serve Hashem in the past? B'simcha uvituv levav meroiv koil. What we do on Sukkot is we show that we're happy even with nothing, with the bare minimum. It's like therapy. In order to be able to be zoicha, to have simcha, when we have true abundance, we have to be able to have simcha when we have nothing. Going into the sukkah is golos. You're leaving the diras keva, you're going into the diras arai, you're going into a makom of nothingness. When you hold in your hands the dalad minim, what are you holding in your hands? The arava is nothing. And that's exactly the point. Even though you have nothing, you have to still have simcha. What are the hadasim? Reach, fragrance. Now, fragrance, it's very, very good. It's delicious. It smells well. But tell me, can you satisfy your hunger pangs with just reach, a shmek tabik? You're going to shmek tabik and that's gonna be enough for you? You're going to satisfy your hunger pangs? It's like, okay, you have a little good fragrance in your life. Okay, number three, lulav. What is a lulav? Dates? There are no dates on the lulav. The only thing that the dates have is potential. Is that if you take this branch and you stick it in the ground, maybe you'll get lucky, it will take root and it will blossom and produce dates. But right now you have nothing. And what about the esroik? It looks very nice, it smells very nice, but what kind of taste? It's bitter, it tastes like a lemon. The most you can make out of the esroik is you wait until Hanukkah time or Tu B'Shvat and you go and you put it in a grinder and you make some jam. Come on, that's called simcha. If you have a good piece of steak, that's called simcha. Have some esrog jam to smear on your matzah. That's not called simcha. That's just the bare minimum. So when you take in your hands the dalad minim, the esrog, yeah, it's a food. You can eat it. You can bite into the esrog. Good for you. You can bite into a lemon. What does an esrog taste like? A lemon. It's a bitter fruit. How much sustenance does it really give you? Nothing. You have the hadasim. Good. It smells very good. So what? Relatively speaking, it's a pleasure. Hashem, thank you very much. You gave me something that smells very, very good. But what do I get out of this? Do I fill up my stomach? Do I have parnasa from this? What do I have from it? It's a blessing, but it's very little. Give me the lulav. I don't know. What is a lulav? It's a stick. It's nothing more than a stick. What do you do with the stick? Stick it in the ground. Maybe it'll take root, and maybe one day it'll produce some dates. Not now, not today, not tomorrow. It has potential. Thank you very much. Potential. Potential is not going to get me in the subway. 275 will get me on the subway. I'm not going to get on the subway with a lulav branch, because one day the lulav branch will produce dates. Right now it's not doing anything to me. It has potential. And the arava? Garnished. Nothing. And yet the Torah says, even though you have just bare minimum, I'm giving you even nothing, I want you to take this into the sukkah. And what is the sukkah? Galus. You're on the road. You're far away from your home. You're in a strange place. And I want you there to serve me with simcha. Usmachtem. I think we ordinarily, most of us, translate the word usmachtem as it's natural. Okay, it's a natural result. if you're holding in your hand the dalid minim, you paid $100 to buy an expensive set of dalid minim. You're holding these beautiful items, and you're in the beautiful sukkah. Usamachtem, memela. It's natural. The joy just bubbles up, and it flows. Kumfakert. When you're sitting in the sukkah, in galus, and you're holding in your hand the arava that has absolutely nothing to offer, and you have a little reyach, a little fragrance from the hadassim, and you have a stick that if you'll plant in the ground, maybe one day it'll produce a date, and you have an esrog that tastes like a lemon. It's some nourishment, but what kind of nourishment is that? A lemon? And you go into the golus, into the sukkah, it's cold, it's raining, there's mold, there's this, there's that. And Hashem says, I'm giving you a command. I'm telling you, even though that it's not natural, okay, that's the point, it's not natural for you to have simcha at this point in time. When you're cold, and it's drizzling, it's windy, you're in an adiris arai, you're holding in your hands items which represent a miserable life. And yet I'm giving you a command, be happy. Ezehu osher hasoymeach b'chelkoi. Usamachtem. Be happy. Be happy with what you have. Shake it hard. Shake it hard in the sukkah. I'm telling you, don't complain. Because when you don't appreciate with what you have, then you know what the result is? The Toichacha, which concludes, Tachas Asher Le'avadita Es Hashem Elokecha B'simcha Uvituv Levav Meroiv Kol. When you had it all. If you're not going to be able to have simcha with the small things in life, you'll never be able to have simcha with the big things in life. And if you don't have simcha with the big things in life, boy, are you in trouble. When Hashem gives you bracha, and you don't know how to channel that bracha for bracha, to thank Hashem, that brings on the toichacha. The training ground that you should never chas v'sholom come to tachas asher le'avadita as Hashem lekecha b'simcha v'tuv le'evav is to have simcha for the small things in life. So the translation of usimachtem doesn't mean like the average person tells you. Yom Tov is such a wonderful Yom Tov. Come, sukkis, you go into the sukkah, you're surrounded by your family, and you're holding in your hands this beautiful esrog. Why is the esrog so beautiful? It's beautiful. A pre-eitz hadar. Chazal dash nadar means, hadar doesn't mean, we like to translate it to mean beautiful. Chazal don't translate it as beautiful. They translate it, you know why it's called hadar? Hadar be'ilan. Because this fruit, it's always there. It's there in the winter, in the summer, it's boring. It's almost like it's a boring fruit. It's dar mishana l'shana. I'm telling you to take these items which represent the bare skeleton of your existence, and I'm demanding of you, don't be bitter. I'm asking you, I'm giving you a command. I want you to look at the little things you have in your life, usimachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. And if you'll do that, you'll be zoicha to have grois ashirus, incredible bracha. You know why? Because when you will get that incredible bracha, you'll know how to rejoice in that incredible bracha. You'll know how to appreciate it. So you shouldn't chas v'sholom come to the toichacha where it says, tachas, asher le'avadita, es Hashem elokecha, b'simcha uvituv levav me'roiv kol. That's what it means, the nusach ha'tfilah. V'ati tein lanu Hashem lokenu, es yoim chak hasukois hazeh, Ziman Simchoseinu. When we say those words in the Nusach HaTfilah, this is Shir on Tfilah. Okay, we're learning about Tfilah. Pesach is called Ziman Cheiruseinu. It's the time when we achieved our freedom. And on Shavuos Zman Matan Toroseinu. Sukkis is Zman Simchoseinu. It doesn't mean that it's natural. It's an avoida. You have to work on it to appreciate little things in life. And this year it's very easy. Because this year, unfortunately, the world has changed to such a massive degree. And it's a very frustrating and difficult situation. And it's a time to focus on having simcha on the small little pleasures of life. All right, that's our shiur for today. Thank you for listening. Blazer, yashkach for coming.
Very, very good. The end. It's like pulpit rabbi speech.
No one wants to hear rabbi's pulpit speech anymore.
Yeah. They don't want to look at it.
It's a lost world today. There's no one that's interested in hearing anything. Except for you. Except if someone comes to this share. It's a different world today.
I don't want to put effort into my sukkah because no one's going to come look at it. So I only hung the chandelier there.
That's what everyone says about the Dalvin Minim. You don't need to buy this year a nice set of dach. Who's going to see it?
Yeah, but the guy doesn't have cheaper prices. But,
who's going to see the fancy stuff?
And I put a gobelin. It should be a real Hungarian. Rabbi, we used to hang like apple and grapes, and then I heard there's a problem to do it.
There's no problem. No, that's what it says in the Gemara. There's no problem. Hang up fruit. Yeah, hang up what is
Bizu Oichel? I have something like 20 pounds of apples.
No.
I'm thinking of making a chain of the apples, putting a thread to it with a and just hanging apples.
The Gemara says they hang up in the sukkah fruit. They would hang up fruit as a decoration. To display beautiful fruit. Yes, the Gemara says they did. So the Gemara says you can do this. You can't say that it's a problem. The reason why they would say it's a problem is baltashris. It's going to go to waste. And if the Gemara says that when you look, I'll give you an example. They call the tainis haravit. What's the tainis haravit? You go to the restaurant. And you order a piece of steak and they charge you $300. Exotic steak. The Ravid says, don't eat the whole steak. Leave over a piece. Well, you're leaving over, it could be $50 worth of food. And where is it going to go? In the garbage. No one's going to want to eat it because Corona, who's going to want to eat it? So the Ravid says, no, leave it. Oh, but it's baltashchis. Go to the garbage. If you are going to use this $50 piece of food to train yourself to be a man of discipline, to say to the meat, listen, who's in control here, me or you? If I had a $300 piece of steak, there's no question, the steak wins. The steak is the boss. The steak wins. He's the boss. I'm just a puppet. But if you're able to say, no, you eat the steak, delicious, 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 and then say, Adkan, I'm not going to eat, you have to leave over to show I'm the boss, not the food. So the portion you do not eat is not considered to be baltashchis, just the opposite. It's considered the greatest use of money possible. People would pay, go to personal trainers, they go to psychologists, they go to psychiatrists, and they pay them thousands of dollars in order to teach them how to control their thoughts, how to not obsess. They give medicine to analyze them, to train their minds. Okay, all different types of professions. You have to have stamina. You have to have focus, concentration. There's a billion-dollar market on these nootropics, all these things that you can, these things, vitamins and things you can take. Billion-dollar business out there. It's a waste of money? No, it's to train your mind. If you, by not eating a food, is gonna train you, what can be possibly better? So if you put up in the sukkah fruit, in the sukkah, an apple, an orange, or whatever, or grapes,
And by hanging it up in the sukkah, it automatically means you're not going to be eating it anymore, because you don't. Once you hang it up in the sukkah, it's going to get ruined. The bugs are going to, the mosquitoes are going to eat into it. So you're not going to eat it anymore. But yet, when you walk into the sukkah, it looks nice. There is some ambiance. It creates a mood. It creates some feeling. Then it's serving a purpose. If you say that you walk in the sukkah, you see grapes on the ceiling, it means absolutely nothing to you. It's like, ugh, it's nauseating. It's not called a nice sukkah, then you're just wasting it. Keep it in the kitchen, keep it in the refrigerator. But if you're in a situation where it does enhance the beauty of the sukkah, even though it will, the expense will be that it will be ruined, you can't say it's Baal Tashchis, especially when the Gemara explicitly says that that's the primary form of Noi Sukkah, is to hang up in the Sukkah the Shiva Saminim, and almonds and other types of things, not only the Shiva Saminim, other different types of fruits and veg, whatever they hung up there in the Sukkah, to decorate the Sukkah. All right, that's the basic Yisoid for today.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming.
Good
Yom, everyone. Have a wonderful Yom Tov. Have a wonderful Yom Tov. You home for Erblazer Yom Tov? You home?
Yes.
Anyone coming to you? Any of your children?
No, Cholamoit, maybe the kids will come, but not by ourselves.
You build your sukkah? You have your sukkah up?
Yes, a big sukkah. I have a sukkah.
Okay,
If your kids are bored, they can come visit me.
They will come for Cholamoit.
Okay,
be well, Rabbi Sa, be well. All the best.
Thank you. Good job.
Good Yom Tov, good Yom Tov. Maybe I'll come visit you, Maya. We'll see.
Oh, anytime. I'll even schlep a bed into the sukkah for you.
A bocha is mechuyev to sleep in the sukkah.
Yeah, that's what you said, right?
Yeah, but today I finished the sukkah today, and I all bitten up by mosquitoes. Ugh. Madoch, I get eaten up when I just put up the deck. I put up
the
sukkah.
The mosquitoes that bite are only the females.
It's really
male mosquitoes don't bite. It's the females that do the biting.
I wonder why.
They get hanoi from it. What kind of question is it? I told you I have a cousin. She's a nurse. She was the first nurse in the